Welcome to Mimiki TV. Get ready to break through barriers, fuel your faith, pursue your purpose, and market your message so you can impact the marketplace for God.
Hi everyone, it's Namika Cooney, and welcome to another live edition of Mimiki TV podcast. I'm so excited to be here today with today's guest. We have some great content we're going to share. But before we do that, if you haven't done so and you've just seen the feed, this pop up on your phone or on your computer, please go ahead and share it. Since it's a live feed, we love to get your our audience interaction, comments, and I'll be checking that as we go along in this in our conversation. So if you have a phone and it pops up, make sure to go and click that. That way then we can have more people who can join us. So you see, if you pop it on your phone, it has the little button at the bottom that says share. And you click that and you can add that to your Facebook or your page. And as I said, I'm just going down my list here because the other day I tried to do this without using my phone and the Facebook ad didn't work so well. So anyways, welcome. So let me introduce who we have here today. So we have Tyler D. Smith. He is a pastor, a MBA sports writer, varsity basketball coach, and author of the new book, Searching for Seven. He has been involved in ministry since 2005 and has worked in the Christian music industry. Whether it's through sports writing, fatherhood, coaching, ministry, or other experiences, Tyler's goal is to live out his faith, understanding that it's a journey that God has given each one of us. So welcome, Tyler. Welcome to the show. So glad to have you here.
Thanks for having me. How's it going?
It's been so good. This new technology stuff, isn't it just fabulous? We were just saying before we went live that, you know, we just pray that this all goes well because this is always fun, right? You never know how things go, but isn't that what life's about? Adventures and journeys.
That's
right.
So
you have had an adventure of a life too. So tell our audience a little bit about you and your backstory and how you got started doing what you're doing today.
Yeah, well, I appreciate coming on, and it's always great to talk with people from all over the place. And you know, you mentioned in kind of the introduction there, I wear many different hats, and I'm very blessed to be able to do all the different things. My journey leading up to all of this was kind of up and down. You know, as a lot of people in their faith journey, kind of a roller coaster ride. But you know, I had no intention of going into ministry at a younger age. I had no intention of writing a book, or you know, I wanted to be in sports, so that was a good thing. But you know, for me, I grew up in a Christian home, and owe a lot to my parents and my sister and the church that I grew up in. But really, it was when I was in college that, you know, my faith started to become more real for me. I started to really understand what it meant to follow Jesus on a day-to-day basis. And from that, a lot of opportunities came up. Like I said, I had no intention of going into ministry, but God kind of used sports. He used basketball to get me to transfer to a Christian college. And then from that college, I got into ministry. And then from that, some of these other things came up. So it's really cool how God works. And you have no idea at the time, you know, what he's planning. But I'm very, very blessed to do the things I get to do.
Well, that's what's fun about life, right? Is we just never know what we get. And especially when you have a lot of interests, it sometimes can feel like, well, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. But that's what's exciting, right? We don't have to always be stuck to one path. And the world has changed, we all are in a state of embracing the new, which I think is super exciting. And that there's a lot that we can do. But at the same time, you know, there are things that can challenge us in life. And with your new book, which, you know, congrats on that, because I know how hard work writing a book can be. But you've got some really great insights that I love to be able to share with our audience today, because this is something that I've had discussions with friends about as well. As you know, even the busyness of life, how do we continue to search for God without making it a religious endeavor, but still finding that sort of that hope and that in that in today's, you know, the way life is. So take us through a little bit about what you found through this journey and some tips you can offer our audience.
Yeah, I think a big thing is understanding that everybody's journey is different, but we really should treat our faith life like it is a journey, like it is an adventure. It should not be boring or mundane. You know, so much of my life growing up was, you know, I'm going to go to church and once in a while open the Bible. And that was kind of the extent of me looking for God and hearing from him. I've realized, though, there's so much more to it. And you have to be very intentional about finding what works for you, how you feel closest to God, how you hear from God, how you can relate to people with faith matters. And so I just want to encourage everyone out there listening to try different things, be intentional, because the more you can do, the more action you can put to your faith, the better off you're going to be, the greater example you're going to be for others. And really you're going to enjoy life more. And, you know, it's not just about enjoying my personal life, but man, there's so many things that God can do when we actually, you know, put action to our faith. And so, you know, even something like serving others, you know, there's a verse in Ephesians that talks about how we were created in Christ to serve. We're created for good works. So it's like, we're created to do this. So if we're not putting action to our faith, we're not doing what we were created for. And we're going to feel like our lives are less meaningful. We're not going to have as much purpose. So man, we gotta get out there. For me personally, what works for me in my search, I make sure I'm in God's word every day, at least if it's a little bit or more. I make sure I'm listening to two or three Christian podcasts every week. I make sure I'm initiating Christian conversations, like faith-based conversations with people. So like you mentioned, sometimes people can say, how do I do this every day? I'm busy. Some people say I've got a 9-to-5, I got kids at home. I don't have much time in this, you know, faith endeavor to really do much. Well, you can do that. You can, you know, initiate those conversations every day with somebody, a text message or face-to-face with a coworker. Just say, hey, what do you think about this topic? And just kind of get the conversation going. And those are some practical things you can do, but we got to get out there and put our faith in motion.
And I think that's what's fun about this. I mean, I'm excited about this new era of the way that we're living in, even though it seems a little cray-cray. But, you know, especially for us parents who have kids and who've had to homeschool or had the kids home for, 5.5 months here in the USA, well, actually worldwide, really, this whole thing is, not that we want to focus on that, but what I'm finding interesting is, and I'm sure you've probably noticed this too, Tyler, is the shift where everything before was, I'm going to go to church on Sunday, and then that's my God box, like, I'm going to do me during the work and during the week, and then I'm going to churches on Sunday, sort of tick it off the list. And what I'm excited about is how, as you say, like your book is really timely, like God in every moment, like, you know, every day. This isn't about being religious and ticking it off the list and now I'm going to sit there and read the Bible. I mean, it can be encouraging, like, you know, driving to the car to the store, or, you know, you hear a song, or you see a number plate, or somebody just texts you, like you said, you know, reaching out to people. I think that is really what the church is meant to be. It's not meant to be us sitting warming up our tushies in a pew, even though, you know, there's a time and place for that. But right now, I think we pretty much are challenged to really walk it out every day. And as you said, you know, simple things are often the most effective. Like, what are the things that you find, like, you're a dad, how have you handled this the last few months with this new situation? What have you been doing to sort of keep things going?
You know, try to find the positive in every situation. I've been very blessed with this whole thing. I haven't really seen a whole lot of people that I know that have contacted the virus, or, you know, the area in which I live. It hasn't been too terrible like it has in other parts of the world. So maybe I have a different perspective than people who have gone through some difficult times, but I try to find the good. And I think one of the things that this has taught me, and hopefully taught others, is the importance of living day, you know, one day at a time, which I think scripture backs that up. That's what God has always wanted for us. You know, scripture doesn't talk much about the word tomorrow, except when it says, don't worry about tomorrow, or don't boast about tomorrow. It's all about today, right now, because, you know, we're not promised tomorrow. So I remember, especially when this first started back in March, things started to shut down. And I was like, I can't even make plans for next week, let alone the summer, or, you know, a few months from now. So it really forced us to, okay, I got to live for today. And, you know, like you said, some of the other benefits of people finding that you can, you know, learn a lot about God online. You can, you know, contact people. There's different resources and devotions and podcasts and all these things that I can grow. I don't need to go into a building. While that's still important to do, there's so many other things I can do. And I don't know, I just hope that more people out there have found, you know, during this downtime, other ways to be encouraged, and hopefully it'll impact their future as well. And not just, you know, when things open back up, hopefully they still live for today and take advantage of those resources.
Yeah, well, let's hope that, because I think what everybody's realized is that we all need each other. Like, living in isolation, you know, trying to be a lone wolf is really overrated. It's like not as much fun as when you can get together, whether you're an introvert or an extrovert. You know, we need that connection. And I'll say to you, Tyler, this makes one. I had COVID 8 weeks ago, and I can tell you that, you know, it really took me out. And there were moments I was lying on my bed where I was like, Lord, why am I going through this? You know, going through the whole questioning and what's going on. And even I couldn't even read. I had such a migraine. I couldn't even read. Things would, like, I was sensitive to lights. All I could sit there was lay down and think and sleep and pray. But I can tell you that for me, the most encouraging is just even people who would text me or, you know, send me WhatsApps from South Africa where I have family and friends, and those who were active, I could physically feel people thinking and praying for me, and just knowing that, you know, there is people who do care and who are, you know, in an office for help and making meals. And I think that's what really church is. It's not necessarily the four walls. The church is the people. And just knowing that the encouragement, and what made me realize is I'm just so blessed to have a family that, you know, I have a wonderful husband who was very caring and, you know, carried the whole load of the household, kids and all. And, you know, everybody needs that support system, whether it's in the house or even outside. But I also realize the importance of part of the mental health is having that connection and knowing that people care. So I think that is super encouraging. So tell us one of the other tips that you've got that you've written in your book, because you've got, you said you've got a sports background, and I'm sure you've got lots of analogies there, right?
I do. Yeah. I'm a sports writer for the Indiana Pacers and Indiana Hoosiers basketball teams. It's really been kind of a dream job for me, especially because those are the teams I grew up rooting for. But yeah, it's just so many examples and analogies that sports have taught me. And one of the things, though, is, you know, I have locker room access. You know, I get to talk to the stars of the game. You know, I've been in the same room and talk with LeBron James many times, or, you know, Kevin Durant, or some of the big stars of the NBA. I was also in the Christian music industry for a while, putting on Christian shows. Got, you know, backstage access and tour bus access, and met a lot of them. One of the analogies, though, that I've come to realize is, even though I have talked with those people and I've been in the same room as them, and a lot of them would know who I was if they saw me on the street, I still don't have this, you know, personal relationship with them. It's more of like they know of me, I know of them. And I feel like a lot of people do that in their relationship with God. I feel like a lot of people know of him, but they don't really know him personally. And it's on us to really seek him, fully believe he seeks us and pursues us. He'll do anything for us to find him, but it's like any relationship. We got to seek him as well. And so I just realized that, you know, I think one of the lines I like to tell people is that it would be like me saying, hey, I've been in the same room as LeBron James, therefore we're like best friends. It's not really the case. And a lot of people do that with God. They're like, I've been in the church building many times. I've been to concerts. I'm really close with God, when really there's more to it. It's got to be a personal, daily relationship. And so that's one of the things, one of the many things I think sports and, you know, my experiences have taught me over time.
And definitely. And wouldn't you also say, like, with the people that are in that kind of level of performance, do you think they have a different mindset to life? Because this is something that always interests me with, you know, professional athletes and in that competitive field. It's almost like, even though there are obstacles, they don't actually get stuck. Like, what have you noticed in that, and how that, what separates the high achievers in moving through pressure and stress and challenges?
I think, you know, it's a profession that's not for everybody. And, you know, some people that have the talent, but they don't have, you know, maybe they don't want to deal with certain pressures, and they kind of get out of the game or out of the field of whatever they're doing. I feel like the mental health side of things can affect anybody at any time. We've seen so many athletes or celebrities, musicians, even pastors, that on the surface, it's like they have it all. They've got wonderful family and a lot of money and a lot of stuff and popularity, but they're just struggling on the inside. And so that's extremely real for everybody. You know, my time in the locker room, especially, I see a lot of times these are normal people. They talk as if, like, you know, some of the people on the teams that I coach in high school, how they kind of talk in locker room. It's a different level, but it's like they're humans, and they have frustrations. They have good days, bad days. They have struggles at home. They have even more pressure put on them because they're kind of their own business. Like, they're their own CEO, and they're trying to maintain social media and endorsements and all this stuff. So they have all this pressure, a lot of money, and a lot of responsibility that comes with it. But think in a lot of cases, they're professionals at what they do, which is a very high level, but they have a lot of the same internal struggles that everybody else has.
And I think that's a big fallacy that we think that, you know, whether it's in leadership or business or ministry or sports, we think those that are shining bright and out there have it all together. But at the end of the day, nobody has it all together. We're all struggling in some way. There's always challenges. Otherwise, it wouldn't be called life. It'd be called a movie, which isn't real life. So, I mean, what kind of tips could you offer someone who's like maybe in a situation, no matter where they are in their life, whether they're a stay-at-home mom dealing with homeschooling kids, or a CEO of a business, or a professional sports writer like yourself? What tips have you found that have been the most helpful that you do perhaps on a daily or weekly basis that kind of get you in the habit of, like as you said, seeking God 7 days a week?
Yeah, I mean, again, finding what works for you, which may look different than me, but I think we've got to make sure we're in God's word, and we've got to find those things that really make us feel alive and feel like we have a purpose on this earth. Also, a big thing for me is this idea that God's will for your life and my life and our calling is more about the day-to-day than it is my career. Like so often people just ask like, hey, who are you and what do you do? And they just immediately go to profession, or when you're a kid, like, what do you want to be when you grow up? And they go to a profession. I fully believe that God can call you into a profession, and maybe even at a young age, you know what that's going to be, and that's awesome. But the way I interpret scripture and, you know, walking with God on a daily basis, he has so many things or so many verses about this is God's will for your life, that you give thanks in all things, or that you don't conform to the patterns of the world, or, you know, there's so many things that he lists, and it says actually in there, this is God's will for your life. So don't think, you know, maybe if you feel stuck or you feel like you're at a job that you don't want, or maybe you love life right now and you think this is all there is, there's tomorrow is coming, you know, today, tomorrow, the next day, live one day at a time. Understand there's so many things he wants you to do right here, right now. And the closer you can get to him, the more you're going to understand his heart, the more you're going to see the people around you and the needs around you. You know, like take Jesus himself. He spent a lot of time just with a group of people in a small group, or he'd go out in towns. People would, you know, interrupt him and he would serve them. He would say, hey, what do you need in this moment? And it's not just about, oh, my destination is this. It's about what's right in front of me. And I think that's a good mindset to have.
Definitely. It's kind of, as you said, a servant attitude, which is more about what can I do to help the next person? Because even if you're having a bad day, like I know from my own personal experiences, when I was having a pity party, I was the only one at the party because no one else wanted to join me. But that's good. The best thing I could do was to pick myself up and go do something for something else. Because just like it says in the scripture that it's, you know, better to give than to receive, because it really is true. If there's something that happens spiritually, mentally, physically, emotionally, when you are able to serve others and realize that that's a gift. And if we have the best example, as Jesus was, is he was willing to wash dirty feet. Mm-hmm. Doesn't make us any more or less important. We all can do that, but there's joy in that. And I think that's what I'm excited about, is that, you know, fighting this whatever situation the world brings, there will always be this onslaught of, you know, fear, and, you know, we can either partner with it or we can decide to be in faith. And the best thing to do is to go out and just to find the positive and to focus on that. So, like, as you said about your book, is just day by day, right? So even though we are currently at home and kids are starting to go back to school, hallelujah, you know, the world is going to open up, and there's anything, you know, this too shall pass. Nothing ever lasts forever. So what would you say if you had to look at, like, as a whole, like, I know planning can be hard, right? But what were the three things that you would want people to take away with the encouragement that you've developed in the tips that you've got in your book?
Three things. That is, you know, trying to narrow it down. I have 19 chapters. They're all short. And, you know, really the books that I like to read share a lot of stories, and they're short chapters, and have some questions that go with it. So trying to narrow it down, I think one of the tips would be, there's a chapter called Just Say Yes. And, you know, it's not saying yes to everything in life. Obviously there's things we want to say no to, but when it comes to faith related things, there was a turning point in my life. There's a story of, you know, real quick summary, there was a huge traveling theater production that was coming to my town. We went to this meeting to see what it was about. They told us that there's going to be about 20,000 people that come through it, and 80% of them are going to be unchurched, and it's going to be on the news and everything. So I signed up, and they said, we need your help in the ministry room. And I was thinking, isn't someone else more qualified? I mean, I'm kind of nervous. 80% think that I'm not going to share Jesus, and I am, and are they going to be mad? So I was trying to find, you know, I was thinking of all these excuses. I ended up doing it and ended up changing my life. I got to share Christ with thousands of people. From that point on, I started to say yes to more things. When somebody would ask me a question, I started to think, maybe this is an opportunity, not an obligation. This is maybe God's way of saying, hey, this is an opportunity I have for you. Maybe you should take it and do it. So I think a big thing is, instead of coming up with excuses, think about Moses when he first was like, God, I can't speak for you. And God was like, I made your mouth. I know you can. and so I have a line in there that, you know, maybe we should stop telling God what we can't do. You know, just that mindset of saying yes to more things. I think another thing would be live with a sense of wonder in life. Life is short. I remember I've gone on all these trips in my life. I've, you know, been able to experience like Maui and the Bahamas and lots of cities, Boston, Philadelphia, New Orleans, just all these beautiful, amazing spots. And I remember coming back from some of those trips and thinking, you know, living in my small town, looking outside at a sunset and being like, this is holy ground too. Like, this is beautiful. This is, you know, I want things in my life that, you know, draw me to my knees and make me be just in awe of God. I have two daughters that are 3 and 1. And like when my oldest daughter, when she sees the moon, you know, a full moon at night, she looks up and I just see the wonder in her eyes. I'm like, I want that with God on a daily basis. So, you know, live with a sense of wonder. And I think the other tip that I would go with is understanding every part of your story matters. The good and the bad. I think we're supposed to use what God has given us and the resources he's given us for his glory. So use what you're good at and what you're passionate about. But also, when you screw up, because you're human and you're going to, still use that to draw close to God and to draw people to him. You know, think of the woman at the well story. She was ashamed of her past, but after meeting Jesus, what'd she want to do? She went straight into town to tell everyone about her past. And so she was no longer like ashamed of it. She was like, hey, let me show you what I've been forgiven of, and let me show you the person who forgave me. And it was just mind-blowing kind of an exchange that took place. So every part of your story matters, the good and the bad. And we want to share what you do know. You don't have to have a Bible degree or a, you know, preaching certificate or something like that. Share what you do know and what Christ has done in your life, and try to, you know, bring as many people on board as you possibly can.
Well, that's so true, because, you know, I think this research that showed that, I can't remember who mentioned it, but basically only 3% are really called to full-time ministry. The rest, the 97% of us who are in everyday lives, working in the general public, and this is really what I love about your book, is how you're able to share and walk it out as a normal human being. Not to say that, you know, pastors are not human beings, but we all are living out our faith on a day-to-day basis. So how that looks can be different to all of us. But I love that, especially the one of our childhood wonder, because I've got a 10-year-old and I'd be like, okay, we've got to do this. And she goes, oh, look at the butterfly. And before I'd like get annoyed. Now I'm like, okay, let's see. Let's just pause, right? And enjoy what is God trying to say in the butterfly. And even she sort of teaches me, Mom, butterflies are things you just need to enjoy and appreciate where they came from. And I'm like, yes, I get it.
I like
Thank
it.
You for yeah. that lesson today, right? our children teach us more than we know. Yes. So that's wonderful. Well, I so appreciate all these wonderful topics and the tips that you've offered. I know there's so much more that we could go into, but before we wrap it up, could you pray for our audience and those who are listening?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, God, I just, I thank you so much for these moments that we get to share together. And, for those watching live, for those that will watch later, all over the world, I just pray for them to understand more every single day of who you are, and for all of us to understand how much you love us, that your grace is incredible. You forgive us when we fall short. Also, I pray everyone understands, whether they have followed you or haven't in their life, that you are for them. You are not against them. You love us. And Jesus went to a cross to show us just how much that you really do love us. I pray for this podcast and live stream show to reach people, to impact the lives of others, to encourage. And I just pray that each one of us understands that this life is a journey and we are called to live out our faith each and every day. Help us to do that. Give us the strength and boldness to do that. We love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Thank you for that. I really appreciate it. I love these prayers because it makes me feel like we're all one. We just give you encouragement to set on the day. And I have to say, for those who've watched us live, thank you, Tina and Gail and Kristen and Meg. And Meg says, great to see Tyler here. So thanks, Meg, for popping in and being on the live show. It's always great to get our feedback from our audience and those who are listening. So if this is the first time you've seen us live, make sure to go and share it with your friends. A little button on the bottom that says share. Go ahead. This replay is going to be available even if you're listening on the replay. And add your comments. We'd love to hear back from you. Any aha moments from what Tyler had to say? Any sort of things that have really moved you? Or if any ways you'd like us to know you're part of the conversation, definitely go ahead and do that. And if you want more resources that I only share with my newsletter community, I have a new 12 tips for personal growth. If that's something you're interested in, just go to mamikakuni.com/growth. There are a bunch of other downloads that you can get there, as well as our previous episodes of Mamika TV if you want to catch up with some other great interviews. But before we wrap up, tell everybody, Tyler, what's the best place they can find you online and reach out to you?
Best place is the book's website, searchingforseven.com. There's links to purchase the book, but even if you don't want the book, there's other ways to connect with me. There's like an email tab, social media links, my personal blog, all of that stuff is right there. So searchingforseven.com.
Definitely. We'll have all those links in the show notes. So if you're watching whatever app you're watching on the video, you'll see a little link that says show notes. Click on that. That'll take you to the blog to be able to get all the links, as well as a link directly to Tyler's book. And we're going to set you up so you can connect that way. So, and if you haven't yet subscribed to our channel, make sure to do that and click on the notification so you know when we go live. And if you are listening on iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Play, make sure to add your comments and review. We always love to hear our feedback that our audience are enjoying our content, because that's why we create it, to help and encourage you with your everyday walk. So I'm going to say thanks again, Tyler, for joining me. It's been such a pleasure.
Thank you for having me. Have a great day.
Well, thanks, everyone. Take care. Bye.